The reading is in the Epistle to the Philippians, and chapter 4, and beginning at verse 4 to the end of verse 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, I have a verse tonight, which perhaps is the most difficult for me to give, and the one that I should give. It's one that affects us all. And it's certainly one that I can't say I'm an authority on this, but I am learning. He says, be careful for nothing, and that is not easy. But we are told to pursue that way. Now, it's chapter 4 of Philippians, verses 6 and 7, which I read to you. Now, here they are again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the apostle, as we are aware by now, is writing to the church at Philippi, and he had a very warm place in his heart for this church. When he preached there, if you remember, it was a time of persecution. And yes, also, there was a church there. And it was a church in a very arrogant city. I mentioned a few times, I think, it was a place where Roman generals retired. And so the few Greek-speaking left, the ordinary people, were a minority. And the majority were Latin-speaking, very proud, very wealthy, and retired, and given to the pursuit of pleasure. That is really was their aim. And there were so many and varied, it's useless to go into them. But nevertheless, there was a church there. It was a haven of grace that was open for ordinary people. People weighed down with sorrows. People weighed down with the cruelty of Roman rule. The people weighed down with their own difficulties as well. There's a haven in the chapel in Philippi. Now, he had already encouraged them that they should have the inner disposition of joy. And I think we looked at that by showing this doesn't mean happy, happy joy. It means we joy in God. And whatever our circumstances are, it's not that we're rejoicing in afflictions and those things, but in them we rejoice in God. It's not saying that we rejoice when things are seem to be adverse and against us, but don't let that interfere with your joy in God, and it will affect also your attitude in affliction. Then he added, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. It was a very full verse, if you remember. Moderation is in the Greek word, it's a very broad word. It means kindliness, gentleness, winsomeness, any kind word you can think of, you can put into that word, moderation. Let that be known to all men. So whoever they are, that must be your attitude. You may not always like them. You may not always say, well, it's not exactly my kind of person. But nevertheless, as a Christian, even if they are non-Christians, your attitude should be one full of love and grace and kindness. Now then, then he said, but the Lord is at hand. And that was a pretty extensive one. It could mean the Lord is at hand, meaning the second coming and the herald of final things to come. It could mean that the Lord is at hand to them personally at their death. Or it could mean, and I'm inclined to think this one, you know, the Lord is at hand always. And I felt that maybe it's one of the others. It's one of those open-ended phrases, the Lord is at hand. But I like to think of it as it simply says, the Lord is near me. The Lord is at hand. I do not go on my own. Now then, that's the kind of people they are to be, and to be aware of the presence of God. Another way of putting it would be, practice the presence of God. That would be the same as saying, really, the Lord is at hand. Now, the topic here, we haven't looked at it yet, is to help weighed down and anxious hearts and people in difficulties and terrible bereavements when some of their family were taken and murdered cruelly by the Roman rule. Now, the first thing here is prayer. The importance of prayer. These young Christians, he wanted them to know that they had access to the throne of grace. That is such a lovely phrase. There's no need to change it, but we can talk around it. I think of a place where I can draw near to the presence of God, or a little child running to his mother or father's arms. It's a place where you can say, I can run there. There is my comfort, and there is my strength. But it is a throne of grace, and it's a throne of grace for those who have been recipients of the grace of God. Now, what do we take there? It begins there by the topic of be careful for nothing, full of care, anxious, if you like, or worry. Now, we all know what that means. Now, I feel a novice in this, and I'm still learning. There is always plenty to worry about. Would you agree with me? Or have you never had worries? Well, that would be a foolish thing to say, because we all have our share. There are little worries and there are big worries. If we stop and think for a moment, it can be anything. It can be anxiety, it can be finances, it can be our physical welfare, our food, our future, concern for our children, concern for the family. We can have all sorts of things. And some of us are inclined to worry more than others, but we all worry to a certain degree. What he's saying is, as Christians, not that you never will worry or this wouldn't be there, there's a place to help you. Now, that's what he's saying. He's encouraging them. There's a place to go to. It's a remarkable phrase. Be full of care for nothing. I can remember years ago, a lady coming to, not to our church, but she visited me every Tuesday afternoon. And she was in a bad state. And she came every Tuesday for 6 months until we managed in the end. And I just took one verse. Be careful for nothing. No thing. And then you say, but if you only knew what I'm going through. But if you only knew what happened to our family. Be careful for nothing. And there are no brackets there that we can fill in. It includes all you have. It includes all I have as well. Be careful for nothing, but in prayer, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, there must be a right attitude here, one of reverence as we cry to God. When we come to a throne of grace, it's not just going there, well, how are you, God? This is what I'd like. We go there when our hearts are crying for help. Help me, Lord. Sustain me, Lord. Give me grace, Lord. Give me wisdom, Lord. So the throne of grace, you can treat it lightly, but you get nothing out of it. But if you treat it seriously, you get a great deal out of it because the Lord is there. And truly, this is where I see the link. The Lord is at hand. How near? At the throne of grace. When can I go there? Anytime, all the time. So I approach with reverence as I cry to God and thanksgiving. You know the little hymn, count your many blessings, count them one by one. It's a good hymn. And thanksgiving. We approach reverently with a genuine concern in our hearts, submission to his will. It's no use going to the throne of grace without being ready to submit to the will of God and the necessity to thank. Now, there's a verse in Ephesians 5:20 that says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a startling verse. Giving thanks always for all things. When you examine that verse, it's a pretty broad one and a very daring one. But he says it, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now, I saw this phrase somewhere. I do not know where I saw it, but I think it's a good one. Prayer without thanksgiving is like a bird without wings. Such a prayer cannot rise to heaven, nor can such a prayer find acceptance with God. Is that interesting? Worth remembering. It's lovely when you hear a child saying, thank you, rather than snatching something else out of her hand, you know? Or somebody who helped before, and they come for more help again, and they don't even say, but you have helped me, and I'm grateful. Prayer, you know, it's like a bird. Prayer without thanksgiving is like a bird without wings. Such a prayer cannot rise to heaven and can find no acceptance with God. Now, he's asking us to have a corner in our lives, which is a private corner, where we go to the throne of grace, a place where we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there's a place for us to go to. Now, the petition, we ask aright with reverence, supplication, and thanksgiving. In James, he says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Don't go there just to ask for selfish things, things that you do not really need and are not important, but go there seriously and ask and remember to thank in doing so. And coming to him in the right attitude, then he says, let your request be made known unto God. You notice how we come. We don't jump into our request, but we approach him with reverence. And then, let your request be made known unto God. Well, have we any request? We all have, haven't we? We all have. And at some time or another, we will all have a request. Well, let your request be made known unto God. Rather, you should say in that day when you're with him, well, I did worry. And he said, but you never told me. You never shared with me. You never shared. Come on now. Let your request be made known unto God. Pour out your heart. He knows you. He knows your heart, but pour out your heart and always be honest with God. There's more to prayer than just a heart cry. It's a relationship. It's a belonging. It's a place we come to. Now then, made known. It must be definite, specific in our request. The Lord's Prayer is a help in our approach. It shows what we cannot pass by the right way. In the verse, if you remember, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Then he said, when you pray. Now look at it. Our Father, which art in heaven, we are able to call God Father. And we have only that right to call him Father when we have known Jesus Christ as Savior. And we can say, he is my Father. And that's a relationship. And it brings a belonging into your hearts. I belong to him, and he belongs to me. And I'm able to say, mine, mine, mine. I know thou art mine. Then it's followed by, hallowed be thy name. Sometimes we can rush through that. Pause on it. Blessed be his name. Glory be to the name of God. Honor and majesty belong to the name of God. So to show our profound respect, we're coming to our Father, but never forget he is God. We come to him. Thy kingdom come. That is the reign of Christ, that it might come back to our country. That once again, there'll be the sound of feet of people worshipping the Lord on the Lord's day. That once again, there will be honesty and respect for our men and women amongst each other. Now, that is, thy kingdom come. Not only the ultimate one, but even now. Thy will be done as it is in heaven. That is what I desire. Thy will here. Thy will for thy churches and chapels to prosper, and for men and women to be saved, and for us to live godly lives. And then give us this day our daily bread. Notice it doesn't ask for more. Just enough. Just enough. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we also forgive them that are indebted to us. Now, there's something wonderful here. Do we forgive? Or do we say, well, I'll forgive, but I'll forget? That's not right. That from your heart, bless them that curse you, do good to them that despitefully use you, love your enemies. It really means that you forgive. Truly forgive. And also are grateful when people forgive you. It's a lovely relationship. And it can happen. That's a wonderful thing. Lead us not into temptation. Those are times of trials and affliction. Well, we know that God has to try us. He must try us, and we are tried as gold, aren't we? You know, we are purified. But he's saying, nevertheless, not more than we must. Please, Father, not more than we must. Lead us not into temptation, and then deliver us from evil. Evil everywhere, Satan himself and all his cohorts. Protect me from him. Teach me how to use the blood of Christ. Teach me how to claim that strength. Deliver us from evil. And about God himself, his honour. And then about our bodily needs. Come with confidence. It is a throne of grace. We obtain mercy then. And who can say, I don't need mercy? We all do. We all do. We come for mercy. And what else do we find? We find grace in time of need. Is that lovely? That you can draw on the mercy of God to visit you wherever you are, whatever situation. Because he's talking to people here under bitter persecution and having a hard time and mocked and reviled as they went to a place of worship. And they never knew that they would lose their business or be taken from them. It was hard on them. It costs to be a Christian, but they'd have their daily bread, they knew. In some wonderful, remarkable way, they would. It is a place where we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I said, Lord, I'm afraid of that valley. I'm scared of that valley. All right, my child, I understand. I'll give you sufficient grace. I often think of the apostle, you know. Three times he asked for the removal of a thorn from his flesh. Well, you know, it was for our benefit that God did not, because the answer he gave was tremendous. My grace is sufficient for thee. Supposing he had delivered him, we would never have had that verse. My grace is sufficient for thee. And then peace. The result of all this is peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now then, we already have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice on Calvary and the forgiveness of sins and a place in glory and our future assured. But he's in here, and the peace of God, this is the peace of God, which, if you like, it could be an offspring of or belonging to the peace with God in our salvation. But the peace of God in your hearts, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, that is what he's saying we can have. Worth having. Worth having. Isn't it awful when you have to say about a person, they have no peace. They're saved, but they have no peace. They say we are saved and have peace with God, but also the peace of God in our lives. This is the peace of God in our hearts and minds. Pray to God above the situation. The result will be peace. The peace which passes understanding. In a sense, the peace that doesn't make ordinary sense. You might say, well, there's no reason at all why I could imagine that that person should have peace. But they do. They do. You cannot describe it. You cannot limit it. It passes all understanding. This quality of peace, which is in God's hands, and he gladly imparts this to his children. He imparts that peace. So come to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I am thine. I have received strength. And I don't know, I'm in a turmoil. I'm in a turmoil. And he says, I got peace here that passeth all understanding. Now then, what is peace? I have a phrase here. Peace is a smile of God reflected in the souls of the believer. Isn't that lovely? Peace is a smile of God reflected in the soul of the believer. Now, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, says Isaiah. Now, it passeth all understanding. It is without measure. It is without limits. It is the peace of God. And what does it do? It will keep our minds. And that's a problem. If you're like me and have a very active imagination, I can feel everything before it happens or ever does happen, you know, and dwell on it. So don't do that. Live hour by hour, live day by day, live minute by minute with me, and I will keep your mind. I'll quieten the storm, like Jesus did when he stilled the wind and the sea at that time to be calm and to be still. And they were amazed at his authority. And he can do that also in a frightened or a troubled or an anxious mind. He says to the mind, peace, peace, which passeth all understanding. And your hearts, what's the difference here? The heart here is not the usual meaning, the heart of the soul. It's your affections and your feelings. And they can be like a storm, can't they? They really can. Sometimes it's temper. Sometimes whatever it may be, or troubled or anxious. But the feelings are affected by what the mind is thinking. And there's a turmoil there. And Jesus comes and stands as if he's standing in the boat and saying, be still. Be calm. You know, calm my fears. Still me. And he gives us peace to keep our minds and our hearts. How? Through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. That's the only way. And in Christ Jesus, that's the secret. In him, in his name, and dwelling is peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The believer is in Christ. He is in that fortress. Do you remember this verse? Peace I leave with you. What's he left me? What's he given me? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, do you think those verses were behind this? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry some things, everything. Somebody's hurt you, don't retort. Take it to God to mellow your heart. Everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Certainly. Is there trouble anywhere? Always. We should never be discouraged. Oh, why? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? It's as if he came up to us and said, I understand. I understand. Draw near. Yes, you may weep on my shoulders, but you won't go away weeping. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak? Yeah. And heavy laden? Yes. Cumbered with a load of care? Often. That's life. That's how it is. Precious Saviour, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? It happens. It happens. And a feeling of isolation. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. And in that background we have, be full of care for nothing, but come to him. And let it make your request known unto God. And the result is peace of heart and mind.